Morning's lesson. And I don't know about you, I have had a many thing on this time side of life. And if he was to call me right now, I know what he has in reserve for me. A mansion, robe, and a crown that fadeth not away, and he says he'll give that to everyone that loves his appearance. Gonna trade my earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. I'll join him in that land where tears, no sorrow can be found. When I receive my mansion, robe and crown, hallelujah, mansion, robe and a crown in glory. There I know that peace and love will always abide forever. Let me be among the Savior's throne surround. Lord, please reserve my mansion, robe and crown. The weather there is always fair, there's sunshine day and night. No cold nor rain will face there, for the sun shines ever bright. I'll need no heavy garment, I'll just wrap my robe around. When I receive my mansion, robe and crown, hallelujah, mansion, robe and forever. Let me be among the Savior throne surround. Mansion, robe and crown. My head is bowed and bloody now from the works that I've tried to do. But one day I'll be rewarded with a crown so bright and new. I'll wear a smile so bright, for there be no cause for a frown. When I receive my mansion, robe and crown, hallelujah, mansion, robe and a crown in glory. There I know that peace and love will always abound forever. Let me be among the Savior throne surround. Lord, please reserve my mansion, robe and crown. My head is plowed and bloody now from the works that I've tried to do. But one day I'll be rewarded with a crown so bright and new. I'll wear a smile so bright, for there be no cause for a frown. When I receive my mansion, robe and crown, hallelujah, mansion. Forever, let me be among the Savior throne surround. Lord, please reserve my mansion, robe and crown. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but one day he's going to close these old eyes. And when he closes them, I know I will plan on hearing the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the only way you're going to know that you're going to hear that is you got to remain steadfast and unmovable in your Christian walk. The world we live in is in bad condition. And it's sad to say that even in the body of Christ, we're in bad condition. But I just stopped by this morning to tell you that he is still on the throne. And he is still alive and well, because if you can't see him nowhere, you ought to be able to see him in me. You know, it was the psalmist that said, in Psalms 107 in verse number 1, he says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hands of thy enemies." So if anybody got the right to shout, to holler, to sing, to praise him, to thank him, it ought to be you and I. Amen. Because he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And I don't know about you, church, when I stop and think about what transpired on Calvary's mountain, that God did that just for little old me. I can't praise him enough. And I hope and pray that as we look at this lesson this morning, that you stop and think about who you are, who you belong to, and what God requires of each and every one of us. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ that have been added to the body of Christ, God has given us marching orders. And those marching orders is to seek and to save that which is lost. He has given us an order that we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, and that our lives that we live ought to be shown from the word of God. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. I want to encourage those of us who are members of the body of Christ, stop and think about it. As the year draws to a close, and it looked like I just said that year had just begun. But as this year draws to a close, and yeah, some of y'all that are a little older than me, y'all have to tell me, does it speed up even more so? Lord have mercy. But I just want to remind us and encourage us, stay rooted and grounded in the word of God. And then those of you that are visiting that may not be part of the body of Christ, want you to know that this message is designed for with you in mind. God wants all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So this morning's message is designed to free someone from the shackles of this old world. You know, it's a shame, but Satan is just running rampant in the world. He has men believing that you can do your own thing and God will still accept you. Well, I just stopped by this morning to tell you that's a lie. And I just stopped by this morning to give you the truth, the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse 15, Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. Inferred that if you don't study and meditate from what thus saith the Lord, you'll divide the scriptures the wrong way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. So the truth of the whole matter is Jesus came and died on a cross to reconcile sinful man back to his Father. That's why John would say in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, Paul said, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died for us. And it's because of death on the cross that if we obey from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered, we can be saved. By hearing the word, Romans 10, 17, by believing that this is the word of God. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Then by repenting of one's sins, Luke 13 and 1, 13, 3, 13, 5, confessing that he is the Son of a living God, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, and then being buried in water for the remission of one's sin. It is in the watery grave that God does a spiritual operation and washes away all of your sin. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's a like figure that saves us now. And I'm not the smartest in the world, but when he told me N-O-W means right now, amen, I said, take me to the water. They're in a like figure wherein baptism saves us now. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of good conscience toward God. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But as many of us that have been baptized into Christ have put on or have clothed ourselves with Christ Jesus. And I want to encourage those that may stand in need. You don't have to put up with your sin any longer. The God that I serve came and died on a cross to free me from sin itself. And Paul will remind the believer that sin should not reign or have dominion in our mortal bodies. Colossians chapter 1 and round about verse number 13, Paul says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So God forgave me, and you know what I did? Forgave myself. So I live my life in a way that pleases God. Might not please you. Amen, walls. But I'm learning if I can please Jehovah, then that's all that really matters. This morning, for the next few minutes, I want to draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 11. The Hebrew writer would write these words to remind the believer how important faith is in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And then Jesus said in John chapter 12, around about verse 32, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. And in John chapter 16, and round about verse number 32, Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so the Hebrew writer would write these words to remind the believer of how important faith is in serving the God of heaven. Title of the lesson is, faith in God gives us confidence, gives us boldness in our Christian walk. And church, and I'm learning that when you truly believe God, you don't worry about nothing else. How many of y'all are worried about tomorrow? You don't have to raise your hand, because I know that you know that I know that God knows that you know that I know that you're worried about tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. But I just stopped by this morning. Put your faith in God, and he'll take care of tomorrow as well as today. That's why Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it. But if you lose your life for the cause of Christ, Jesus says, you will find it. The Hebrew writer says, excuse me, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speak. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Boy, I wish I had some time this morning, because that ought to be our testimony, that we can please God in our everyday life. The Bible says Enoch was taken by God, but he had a testimony before God took him. And that testimony is that he pleased God. Church, I don't want to close my eyes from this time side of life and you say everything about Stan but the right thing. I want you to say that he pleased God. Because church, in the final analysis, that's what it's all about. It's not pleasing one another, but it's really about pleasing God. Verse number 6 is where I'm going to drop my hat for the next few minutes. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you look for the Lord, he's there looking for you. In our text here, the Hebrew writer writes these words to remind us that faith in God gives us the confidence, the reassurance in our Christian walk. Matter of fact, the faith that we have in God gives us boldness and confidence to know that no matter what transpires, God is still in control. And when we trust God and when we depend on God, no matter what happens, God is going to make us victorious. Even in death itself, we got the victory. And so therefore, on this time side of life, how should we be? Excited, motivated, enthused. How are we? Like Rover, dead all over. Ought not to be so. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in round about verse number 51, the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall be changed in a moment, in the twink of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruptible, and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." See, even in death, I got the victory. So how am I going to live on this time side of life? Like a victorious individual. Because I know that even when you take my life, you have no say-so. I'm just going to step on over and to the other side. And church, that's what ought to motivate us and drive us. And so the older I get, the more I'm understanding, get ready for the death. Get ready for the other side. Prepare yourself to leave here. And so if I'm going to prepare myself to leave here, I need to leave instructions to Sister Harmon and to the rest of my family. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Trust in him. Do what he commands. And when your time comes, you won't have to worry about a thing. Church, I'm learning that on this time side of life, if I trust God and depend on God, he'll take care of everything. He's the only one that I know that has told me where I came from, how to live, and where I'm going. Anybody else told you that? Nope. Nobody but the Word of God. And so the Hebrew writer here reminds the believer that when your faith is in Christ Jesus, it'll be played out in your everyday life. The play out that you have in your everyday life will give you confidence, will give you boldness, will give you reassurance that no matter what transpires, the God of heaven said, "I will take care of you. All I need you to do is depend upon me." The Hebrew writer would say, Hebrews chapter 13, around about verse number 1, the Bible says, "Let brotherly love continue, and be not forget to entertain strangers, for some unknowingly have entertained angels. Remember them that are with you in bonds, as bound with them, and with suffering adversity, as being yourself also in the body. Marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Verse number 5, the Hebrew writer says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." See, when you truly trust God, God gives you confidence and reassurance on this time side of life. And so your life is lived in such a way that is an example to everyone you come in contact with. Galatians chapter 2 and round about verse number 20, Paul says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ live in me. And the life which I now live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Then in verse 21, Paul says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain." Church, God has given us everything we need. And our confidence and our reassurance is based upon our faith, our trust, and what he commands us. That's why the wisest man on the face of the earth would say, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways do what? Acknowledge him. And what will he do? He will direct your path. Church, if you want some direction, trust God. Depend on God, and God will take care of everything else. Point number one, in order to have faith in God, one must learn to walk worthy of this vocation. And in the process, God will strengthen you and guide you in your everyday life. Ephesians chapter 4, around about verse number 1, Paul says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you were called, with all lowliness, meekness, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Paul encourages the believer, walk worthy of the calling. And all of us that are members of the body of Christ, we got a calling when we went in this water. The question is, how worthy are you? Are you walking worthy? Are you remaining steadfast and unmovable? If so, want to encourage you to continue to do that. See, faith in God brings about confidence on this time side of life. Even in your darkest hours, even when things are not going the way they should, if you trust and depend on God, he'll take care of everything else. Not the way you want it done. Let me drop that in, because I want him to do it one way. You know, I might be like the sons of thunder. Y'all know about them individuals, don't you?
Yeah.
They want to call down fire and brimstone. But see, God don't work the way I think he ought to work.
Yeah.
But church, I'm learning that as we walk worthy of our vocation, God will give us strength and encouragement and help us to be strong in what we say and do for him. But see, in order to do that, it requires something. See, to walk worthy requires you to work.
Amen.
You didn't know that, did you? Okay, well, I thought I'd stop by. James chapter 2. And round about verse number 14, James says, what does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and has not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them those things which are necessary to the body, what does it profit? Even so, if faith has not works, it is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith how?
By
my works. And then he goes on. Verse number 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devil also believe. But he got a little more sense. He trembles. Verse number 20, the Bible says, but will thou not know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar, seeing that how faith wrought with the works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scriptures was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. He was called the friend of God. You see then that how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And look at verse 25. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead, being alone. See, in order to walk worthy, you got to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In order to really walk worthy of the vocation, you got to develop the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And after you develop the mind of Christ, you got to put your mind where it belongs. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affections where? On things above and not on things of the earth. See, in order to walk worthy of your vocation, Christ must be numero uno. He doesn't take a back seat. And if you put him first in your life, he'll take care of everything else. So when you're heavy burdened, when you don't know which way to go, Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Point number two, in order for your faith to really be an example, you must exercise your faith daily. Amen. You got to do some things that most people just don't want to do. And one of the things most people don't want to do is sacrifice their life in service. But see, we've been called to service. That's right. You and I have been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. And God has challenged and given the responsibility to you and I to save the world in which we live in. And how do we do that? Same way you eat an elephant. One bite at a time. One soul at a time. See, in order to do that, we got to be the example. But see, we got to be the example first and foremost among ourselves. If we're not an example among ourselves, can't teach the world out there nothing. Look at what he says. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 12. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believer in word, conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. See, we must be the example to the world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and following. We are the salt. We are the light of the world. But if we've hid our light, if we're no longer salty, what good are we? And finally, faith in God and his word will help us to reach a higher plateau in our Christian walk. It'll help us to have confidence. It'll help us to be bold. And it'll help us to understand that no matter what transpires, the God we serve said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And I want to leave you with some words from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1. And round about verse number 12, Paul starts out with these words. But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things that happen unto me has fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ and my might be manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord wax confidence by my bonds and are more bold to speak the words without fear. Some indeed preach Christ for envy, for strife, some also for goodwill. The one preach Christ for contentions, not sincere, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Listen to what Paul is saying. Verse number 17, he says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, even way, in every way, which in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, I therein do glory. Yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and supplication of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Verse number 21 says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yea, what shall I choose? I rather not. For I am in the twixt. Listen to what Paul is saying. Paul says, I'm torn. He said, I'd rather depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide here in the flesh is more needful for you. Church, we're supposed to be an example to one another. We're supposed to comfort one another and encourage one another. Our faith in God helps us to be bold and confident on this time side of life, because one day you're going to keep an appointment. And that appointment, when it comes, you're not going to be able to reschedule. Nope. You're not going to say, I'm going to be late. This appointment, you're going to keep, and you will be on time. Amen. So I want to encourage your church, have a good week. Continue to have faith in God, and I guarantee you, God will be there for you. We live in a world that just seems like it's turned upside down. But it's good to know that God is still in control, even though it seems upside down. Members of the body of Christ have fallen short. I want to encourage you to repent. Just get back on the right track. Haven't obeyed the gospel. The water is here, we're ready, we'll baptize you, and leave here a new creature in Christ, and Christ will wash away all of your sins. Amen. And give you a brand new start. Whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.